B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Guitar legend Robin Trower is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock podcast. Coming closer to the day. This is brand new record. He talks about that. A song he says is the best he's ever done off it, as well as the iconic Robin Trower sound.
You know, I just make the music that's close to my heart, and that's what comes out.
This record just dropped last Friday as I record this, and he's already working on a new record. We talk about that, as well as how he started playing a Fender Strat in the first place, Bridge of Sighs, turning 45, and his thoughts about why that record's so popular.
It's emotionally quite deep. I think that may be more what people find attractive in it.
He tells me about watching Jimi Hendrix from the side of the stage on a night where the guitar legend wasn't really on, and a ton more with Robin Trower today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. We got a good one for you today. Legendary guitarist Robin Trower. And we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Al Beck is going to join me for some rock news. We got some cool stuff to talk about today, including Tool. I guess they have their own PR person now, who's in a different band, talking about what's going on with Tool. We'll get into that here coming up. Also, news on The Dirt. By the way, did you see The Dirt over the weekend? What'd you think? 248-586-2988 if you want to leave a voicemail for us. Steven Tyler actually inspired someone to get clean and healthy. We'll talk about that. Vans putting out another pair of rock shoes, and Corey Taylor kind of venturing away into the rap world. We'll get to that as well, coming up with rock news with Al Beck. In the meantime, Robin Trower is out doing the press interviews for his record, Coming Closer to the Day, which is his 23rd solo album. And Robin Trower, legendary guitar player, played his early days with Procol Harum. He talks about that and talking about seeing Jimi Hendrix play as Procol Harum opened up for Hendrix. And we'll get into that here coming up in just a bit. And also, Bridge of Sighs turns 45 next month. We talk about that and much more. This is over one of these ISDN lines, which I love. So it's a great quality interview to listen to with a great guitar player, just a legend. Robin Trower today on the Talkin' Rock podcast.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
indeed.
There you go. Go ahead.
Hey, Robin, good to hear your voice, man. How's things?
Very good. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're out here in Detroit, and I see you got the records out, Coming Close to the Day. And obviously, you've talked about this already before, since I'm sure I'm down your list of interviews. But the first time I heard the title of the album, I thought, well, it's got to be like some sort of nod to retirement or something, or isn't it?
Not retirement, no, but... It just, you know, obviously it's an obvious thing to say I'm closer to the end than the beginning.
But, right.
really, it's about if I want to get to where I need to be or want to be, then I've got to work harder.
Where do you want to be?
I want to end up doing the very best work I can do. That's the goal.
And how does this record relate to that?
It has some of the elements on it, a couple of tracks there that definitely are amongst the best I've ever done.
Is that right? Give me an example. Which ones do you really like?
Well, the opening track, Diving Bell, I think is one of the best things I've ever done. And I love the song Ghosts. I think that's a little cracker, as they say.
Man, that's cool. And, you know, it's like it also astounds me that, I mean, you played all the instruments and stuff except the drums. I think I read somewhere that if you could play the drums, you would. But tell me about playing all your own instruments. Does this give you like totally complete control over everything you do?
Well, that is the main reason. When you're writing a song, you've got a feeling in your heart and in your head what you want it to sound like at the end. So... to try and achieve that, it's easier if I play the bass as well. And I'm very, very fortunate to have a drummer that's, you know, amenable to try and give me what I want on the drums as well. So it just works great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now this record, of course, when I first dove into it, there's no mistaking the Robin Trower sound.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I was just doing some stuff around the house last night, and I was listening to some of the older records and stuff, to Bridge of Sighs and stuff. And it's like you kind of don't veer very far away from that sound, do you?
It's not an intentional thing. You know, I just make the music that's close to my heart, and that's what comes out.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody asked me on Facebook. I say, I'm talking to Robin Trower. Give me some questions. They want to know how come you don't get the same respect, or how come you didn't achieve the success that like an Eric Clapton did. Do you ever answer that question before?
I don't really think about that, to be honest. I think, you know, popularity is ephemeral. You can't really judge why people like someone and not so much somebody else. No, that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Now, I think I read somewhere that are you already working on your next record?
That's right. I'm about halfway through it at the moment. Yeah.
You just put this one out 3 days ago or something. You just can't sit still, can you?
No, I'm continually writing new material all the time. So, you know, it's great fun. You know, I come up with a few songs and go in the studio. I can't imagine having more fun doing anything else.
Now, do you have a studio like at your house or somewhere you can just go to real quick?
No, I have a local studio. I say local, it's about half an hour away from me, that I'm very fortunate, a great engineer there, you know, and it's very easy to go and work there.
Maybe your next record could be called Coming Closer to the Day.
Maybe.
Now, I just did a thing on my show last week. It would have been a Leo Fender's birthday and stuff. Tell me about your relationship with him.
I never met Leo Fender.
Really?
No.
Well, he passed away in 1991. I thought that somewhere along the line your paths would have crossed because, correct me if I'm wrong, when you heard that Strat or something, I think I read something online about Jethro Tull or something like that. You picked up one of their guitars. Is that really what happened?
That's a true story. Yeah. I mean, it was Martin Barr's spare guitar. I picked it up one day at soundcheck and I haven't looked back since.
Mm-hmm. But you never met Leo, huh?
No, never did.
Hmm. Is there any modern guitar players that you're interested in?
Well, I don't listen to a lot of current stuff, to be honest, but I haven't heard anybody, no.
Hmm. Wow. Nothing.
Sorry.
Hey, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Uli John Roth last week, and he's kind of like the same way. He's like, no, I just listen to my own music. That's it. I got enough music in my head. I don't need to listen to anybody else's.
No, it's not like that at all. I mean, the stuff I listen to is still my favorites. I still listen to Albert King, Howling Wolf, you know, that's the stuff that really moves me.
What kind of stuff like influences you when you're writing a new record?
I think the people I've mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, and Jimi Hendrix is a big influence. You know, a lot of rhythm and blues stuff is still coming through in what I'm writing now.
Yeah. I just heard Dave Mustaine. You know who Dave Mustaine is?
No.
He's the lead guitar player from Megadeth, and he said something interesting. He said that when Jimi Hendrix, I'm not a guitar player, so I'm talking out of, you know, my realm of what I do, but he said that sometimes when Jimi would play, he actually used his thumb on his upper hand and kind of play some bass lines. Did you ever hear about that?
No, I can't say that I did, no.
Oh, okay. Maybe Dave was talking out of his butt. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I never heard something like that before. So
that's probably, I mean, he was a genius, Jimi Hendrix, so he could probably do anything he wanted to do.
Yeah, how many times did you see him play live?
Once.
Yeah, is that right? Where was that at, over in Europe?
Yeah, it was in Berlin. I was in Procol Harum, and we opened up the show for him.
And could you, I mean, was this at the time when he was already a big success?
Oh, yeah, he was huge, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And did you stand on the side of the stage and watch him or whatever?
I did, yes, indeed.
Yeah, what were your thoughts?
Well, obviously that he was a phenomenal player, but it wasn't a good night for him, unfortunately. The band wasn't really cooking. The audience started booing. It was a bit sad, really.
Hmm. How long before he died was that?
I think about 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, Uli John Roth said he saw his last show.
All right.
I mean, he obviously didn't know it was his last show, but, you know, that's what it turned out to be. So,
right.
Hey, so I was listening to Bridge of Sighs last night preparing to talk to you today, and if you can believe that turns 45 next month.
I know. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, do you got anything, I mean, I don't know if you have anything special planned for that or whatever, but I mean, on tour, anything like that?
Well, I always play some songs from that album because, right. you know, it's the most popular. And also, it's got some songs that are so potent that I still enjoy them as much today playing them as I did when I first came up with them.
Yeah. What do you think really connects the fan base with that particular record?
I think it's emotionally quite deep. I think that may be more what people find attractive in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was your second solo record. Did you really feel like you had a vibe going at that time?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the band was working great. The music I was coming up with was obviously very strong. Had no idea that it was going to be as popular as it was, but we knew it was something quite good.
Yeah, 45 years, man, I'll tell you. And around that time, of course, you had all the prog rock bands and stuff like that, and the Led Zeppelins and the Black Sabbath. So you had a lot of music out there coming out in that day and time.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, so this record, you're going to tour on this record coming up, then work on your other record in between, or how's this work?
Well, I'm here in the States for about 7 weeks, and when I get back, I'll go back into the studio and start working on the next record.
So we're coming closer to the day. Final thing here for you, Robin. Closer to the day. What do you think your legacy will be?
You know, I don't ever think about things like that. I'm hoping that people will say he was a musician that tried to do something difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
You think what you do is difficult, or you just make it look easy?
I think it is quite difficult to come up with what I've come up with, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, the artists, I could just name off, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Gary Hoey, just guys I've talked to recently that you've influenced.
I know. That's such a... it's amazing to think that you have influenced people, but... you know, I'm sure they're stretching it a bit.
Well, listen, Robin, it's an honor and a privilege to talk to you. Coming Closer to the Day is out right now, and good luck on your tour here in the States. And hopefully, when you stop by Detroit, you always play the Royal Oak Music Theater. I got to come up and see you and say hello.
That'll be great. Bye bye now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Like the once great American, Bob Ritchie said, "You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me."
The Kid Rock. I admire him greatly. Only God knows why.
There you go, Kid Rock. That's from the TV show Billions. Did you see it last night or something? Or?
No, I didn't. Our boss, okay. Mark, did. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's a show that I keep hearing about, and they've got a few actors that I really like. So it's on my list. I just haven't gotten to it.
I know. I've wanted to watch that. Yeah. Instead, I watched The Dirt this week, and then I watched another movie, which is just awful, with Ben Affleck and you know, Charlie Hunnam's in it, right? And of course, he played Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay.
And like everything he's in, he's Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, dude, shave the facial hair or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah, there we go. Enough about that. Mm. So yeah, we'll talk about Dirt here coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to touch on this, the Tool news. I guess Kirk Hammett's now their spokesperson. Is that right?
So, yeah.
He's their PR guy.
I know, that's the funniest thing that I love the headline. The new Tool album, latest update comes from Kirk Hammett.
Mm, how about that?
So
okay.
Really,
did he hold a press conference or something? What's going on with this?
You know what? At this point, we're passing it on. This is now third party information.
Okay,
but,
fair enough.
It came up. He's buddies with Adam Jones, mm-hmm. you know, from Tool,
mm-hmm.
and it came up in an interview, and he said that, you know what, talking to Adam Jones, he said that they're currently working on the artwork, and obviously he's, you know, Kirk's got a lot of experience with the album process. Says that if they're working on the artwork, it's probably pretty close. So I mean, really, that's all the update we've got. But it does sound like Tool is. Doing
all
the
right.
art
well,
the realm.
We'll see what happens coming up here. I mean, if Kirk says it's so, then I guess it's probably so.
Yeah, so, you know, for further updates, maybe set up an interview with Kirk Hammett and we'll get, you know, maybe James has got the rest of the info.
Or Sebastian Bach or anybody else who knows those guys. So,
yeah.
Anybody but who's in the band.
Anybody but Maynard will give you an answer.
So, I was surprised to find out that you actually had a chance, or you actually did watch The Dirt over the weekend.
Oh,
I thought it was going to be like the Bohemian Rhapsody thing.
Because I've had plenty of chances to watch Bohemian Rhapsody. I just haven't yet. But I did watch The Dirt.
So what did you think?
Yeah. I mean, like, I thought the movie was good. I thought it was a very well done movie. I thought the actors were great.
Well, I don't know about great. Okay, let's not get carried away. But Machine Gun Kelly really played a great Tommy Lee, I thought.
I thought he did a good job. Honestly, I didn't have a problem with that. The guy who played Ozzy was, it was eerie because
I thought he was great. Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought
he was pretty good. Was Ozzy, it right. felt like. Especially, he had the right hairstyle of that time.
Well, Nikki says, yeah, exactly. Nikki says, you got to watch it again. Of course, you're going to say you got to watch it again. Then you got to watch the background. Like, I'm not, you know, and I'm going to, okay. I'm going to admit, I started the show and I was sober.
Yeah.
And by the end, not so much.
That's funny. That's how I start this show.
Right. I thought you started it the other way, actually. Yeah. But
oh, it just gets more.
Yeah. So, yeah, the dirt. So, you know, a listener kind of pegged it on my, and I actually used it in my blog at WRIF.com if you want to check it out. But a listener kind of pegged it. He says, yeah, it was like a Lifetime movie with boobs and swearing. And
I kind of feel that. So much of that. But yeah. I don't know, man. Like, their personalities and mine definitely clash. So I kind of walked away going, like, wow, these guys are dead. So that was my experience with the dirt, but I thought the movie was well done. You know,
some of the stuff, like, for example, you know, it's well known that Vince Neil crashed this Pantera car and not a, you know, 1983 Corvette. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever year that was, that Corvette they were using. But, you know, different things like that. You know, Vince Neil's daughter dying, I thought would have been a little bit more of the feels, you know, but I just didn't, it just kind of, they kind of rushed through things and I don't know. It was like, it was okay. I'll probably watch it again sober. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't really figured
it
out.
You'll try. You'll try to watch it sober.
So I guess somebody's suing the band or something?
Yeah, well, that's the other reason why that movie's in the news right now. There was a crew member who was trying to sue both Motley Crue and Netflix, who worked on the dirt and was injured on the job about a year ago. Mm. I guess received some electrical burns from like a power line or something, wants to sue for damages.
Dude, hold on. He receives some electrical burns from a live wire.
Yeah, there you go, man. Yeah, but he's suing for damages, including medical bills. He wants $1.8 million.
Because I'm alive. Live wire.
Oh, okay. My God. Meltdown sang.
Right, there you go. So, anyways, okay, moving on. Yeah. Steven Tyler's birthday today as we record this March 26th. And I guess Scott Stapp's saying that he kind of influenced one of his new solo songs.
Yeah, he's got a new solo record, you know, and Scott Stapp is saying that this new single, Purpose for Pain, is really centered around, you know, he went through some really tough times. He was pretty mm-hmm. turbulent. I mean, Creed kind of, he split up for a reason, you know, I mean, basically Creed was picked up and became a whole other band just without him.
Yeah, pretty know? Much, but never had the same success, right. For sure.
But he was kind of talking about how that song is about the importance of that, and that Steven Tyler was really the guy that planted in his brain almost 10 years ago about overall wellness and getting in that better mindset. And he said it didn't blossom right away, but Steven Tyler was the one who planted the seed and it sort of, you know, bloomed and he's in a much better place now.
Yeah, they did a thing here around 2009 here at the radio mm-hmm. station. And I got to be honest, Scott Stapp was in a really good place, man. He was really, he's healthy, fit.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
I don't remember if it was that or the time before he came in, but I met him one time. This is probably more like 2006 when he came to the radio station. I was an intern, and I remember I pulled like a double, triple event work because I wanted to come in and meet him because he was going through some tough times. And I was like, you know what? I kind of want him to be an a-hole to me. Like, I think it would be funny if Scott Stapp was kind of a douche to me, and it would be like story. And I met him, and he was delightful.
You know what?
I was let down because he was really nice to me.
I've never had a bad experience around Scott Stapp, but you hear all these bad stories.
Exactly,
you know?
And that's why I wanted to experience one. But so the one time I met the dude, he was a really good guy. But, you know, even he admits, yeah, I had some really dark days, and yeah, this song's about coming out of it.
I think I met him for the first time. I interviewed the entire band outside the club they were playing here in Southeast Michigan. And My Own Prison was like the only song that had come out yet. You know, it's like the right at the very beginning. So I guess Vans is doing something mm-hmm. with David Bowie. Is that right?
Yeah, the Vans, the shoe company, they developed four different designs for some sneakers inspired by different album themes from David Bowie.
Records?
Well, we got Skate High, which are black and white checkered high tops with Bowie written in red on the side. Let's see, that's with a lightning bolt. And those are based on Ziggy Stardust. Then you got the white old school model, which also feature a lightning bolt. That one's representative of Aladdin Sane. Then you got the Space Oddity sneakers, which are blue and black with polka dots, and the Hunky Dory slip-ons featuring a similar shade of yellow to the album.
Hunky Dory.
Yeah, Hunky Dory.
Yeah, that's that was actually a record.
I started
that,
reading on to the next sentence and had to stop myself.
No, Scott Weiland actually told me that was one of the records that inspired him when he was a grown-up, Hunky Dory, which is one I got to get for my vinyl. I don't know. I can't see a whole lot of Bowie fans buying Vans, to be quite honest
right,
with you. But, yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, it's a nice little tribute thing.
So, anyways, moving on to the last thing here, because this is interesting. So, Corey Taylor is in this this rap song with who now? Explain this to me.
This is it's a British rapper named Kid Bookie, and I guess he's got some EP that's out right now or whatever, but they did an alternate version of a new song called Stuck in My Ways, and about halfway through the song, there's a special guest appearance, and, you know, we see cross-genre stuff happen all the time, you know, Aaron Lewis going country, but yeah, Corey Taylor is guesting this rap song.
All right, let's give this a listen and see what it sounds like. So Corey's about to come in.
Yeah. From the showers, feeling like a minute, but I'm going on for hours. Then again, I know I got a use. What had occurred? What in the world does it even mean? Running away, never the same, circle back to me. One of the ingrates has landed. None of your minds have expanded. Now that the gang is disbanded, who have you taken red-handed? I just want to be away. Away from the eyes that judge me. Assume the mouths that won't shut up. You're losing focus, you're broke, you know you can't give up. Pick like a part, but it's pointless, and now it won't add up.
Yeah, this doesn't really surprise me that he's doing something like this because, you know, knowing him a little bit, I don't know him very well, but I know him enough that this like he kind of wants to expand and do different things. And but of course, you know, Slipknot and Stone Sour are his bread and butter. He's not going to, you know, bail on that.
He's got a lot of free time on his hands. He's not really doing anything else. So.
Yeah, right.
Got to fill his time with something, right? Yeah. Probably one of the busiest dudes in rock.
Now, I'm sure that Eminem's probably not feeling threatened by him.
I'm sure not. No,
probably,
no, I think he's safe. Yeah.
Probably no rap battles coming up in his future,
he sounds fine though.
So we started with Kid Rock, who kind of went from the rap rock thing to now Corey Taylor going to the rap rock thing. So, anyways, give your socials there, Al.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram,
and at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One. Now, listen, if you've made it this far, you know, give us a 5-star rating if you like. Write a review. Last podcast, I talked about this Anvil Radio show that reviewed us, and I guess they used to listen to me way back in the day. That's pretty cool. And also, keep it locked and come back and maybe subscribe if you want. I know tomorrow I'll be talking with the legendary Dave Mustaine. I've interviewed Dave about 4 or 5 times. Dave's always killer to talk to. I think one of the guys from Papa Roach later on this week. I've got some other interviews that I'm working on as well. So looking forward to all those. Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.